Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. Last week we were talking about Ezekiel chapter 18. And let me read those first four verses of the chapter again. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Now what's going on here is the Israelites had a proverb. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It was a false proverb, according to this. It was definitely uninspired. And the point was, of their proverb, the false proverb, is that if the father sins, the son would suffer spiritually. We're not just talking about physically. Of course, a son could suffer physically for his father's sin. Well, let's just think of a good example that everybody would agree with. If a little baby is born in the womb and the mother's addicted to drugs, the little baby could be born addicted to that drug. And so physically the baby suffers for the mother's sin. It's not talking about this. This is talking about spiritually. Is the son going to be lost because of the father's sin? The Catholic Church teaches the equivalent of this false proverb, inherited original sin of Adam, that babies are born guilty of the sin of Adam. And as a matter of fact, that's why the Catholics invented, I say invented because it's not anywhere in the Bible, they invented infant baptism because of their false teaching, their false theory that babies inherit the guilt of the original sin of Adam, and we better baptize them in case they die in infancy before they can grow up and believe and be forgiven of their sins. Well, this whole chapter in Ezekiel 18 is refuting that idea that the Catholics made up, that babies inherit the guilt of the original sin of Adam. And of course, the Calvinists believe this too. They call it, they're more likely to call it, you know, babies are born totally depraved, so that they're born sinners, and they're born sinners. The Catholics say they're born guilty of sin, and the Calvinists will say they're born sinners, and so they're so depraved, there's no way they could choose to do what's right. But you remember, there's the proverb. He's saying it's a false proverb. He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This proverb is false. So this Catholic and Calvinist doctrine that babies inherit the guilt of sin, depravity, from their ancestors, from Adam, is said to be false by Ezekiel 18, hundreds of years before the Catholic Church ever started, before even Calvinists ever existed. Now, it's reiterated in verse 20. Verse 20 is so clear. We went over verses 1 through 20 last week. Here's verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. We know this is not talking about physical consequences, because, I mean, if a drunk driver hits another car an infant can die in the other car. The drunk driver's the one that sins, but the drunk driver didn't die in this scenario. The little infant did, even though the infant is completely innocent. So people can suffer physical consequences because of somebody else's sin, but that infant will not be lost. The sin of the drunk driver, that's his sin. He'll be lost because of his sin. The infant will not be lost at all. He doesn't suffer spiritual consequences because of somebody else's sin. And that's what verse 20 is making so clear. It's as if God anticipated that the Catholic Church would invent this doctrine, so he put something in the Bible hundreds of years before that in order to head it off at the pass. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. No other soul is going to die other than the one who sins. So, you know the reason Pat Donahue is lost? Because, why was I lost and needed salvation? Why? Not because of Adam's sin, it's because of my own sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. So I did not inherit the guilt of sin from my dad, Kenneth Donahue, or from Adam, either one. It says, the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If somebody else does something righteous, like my dad, then I'm not going to get credit for that righteousness just because I'm his son. He's going to get credit for it. And it says, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If my father does something wicked, then he's going to be charged with that wickedness, not me. Of course, again, the Catholics and the Calvinists, they have it exactly the opposite, that we do inherit wickedness from our ancestors, Adam and our parents. But this whole chapter is given to refute that false proverbs. Now let me read verse 21 through 23, because it brings up an additional point. It says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? The point here is that if you're wicked, if you're in that state, you're going to be lost, of course. But if you return from all your sins, notice not part of them, all of them, if you'll turn from all your sins, and I didn't write that, God put the word all in there, and you start keeping God's law, verse 21, then you will live spiritually. He'll forgive you if you're a wicked person, but if you repent and turn from your sins, if you're a thief, you quit thieving, quit stealing. If you're an adulterer, say you're in an adulterous marriage, one that violates Matthew 19:9. If you terminate that adulterous marriage and get out of that marriage, if you're a homosexual, he'll forgive you. If you quit being a homosexual, no matter what you are, if you'll just turn from those sins, God is willing to forgive you based upon, we know from other passages, based upon the death of Christ. Without the death of Christ, none of us could be saved. Even if you repented, you wouldn't be forgiven without the death of Christ. But because of the death of Christ, you'll be forgiven if you repent. Now, even though Jesus died for you, if you refuse to repent, you won't be forgiven. But this says if you turn from those sins and start living right, you will be forgiven. And that's based upon the death of Christ. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call. The number is 877-655-6755. As I said, the lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment to ask me over the air, the number to call is 877-655-6755. And so 21 through 23 is saying, look, if you're wicked, that has nothing to do with what your father did or your son. It's all on you. Don't blame anybody else, because the guilt of sin is not transferred from Adam or anybody else. This idea that babies are born in sin is completely foreign to the Bible. It's a made-up doctrine. Now, but if you're wicked, has nothing to do with your father, it's because you sin. But if you're willing to repent and turn from those sins and start living right, God will forgive you based upon the death of Christ. Now, the other side of the coin is true also, verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. So the opposite is true. If you're a righteous man, but you turn from that righteousness, and you start living wickedly, you're going to die. It won't be good enough that you were righteous at one time. This once saved, always saved position that a lot of churches have is just completely false. It won't do you a lot of good, any good, that you were righteous at one time. If you turn from your righteousness and start living wickedly, this says you're going to die spiritually. Now, we know this righteous man had been saved from his sins at one point, because nobody's righteous because they live perfectly their whole life. Only Jesus has done that. So when it says this man is righteous, that means he's been forgiven of his sins, and now he's living the righteous lifestyle. Maybe he used to be wicked, but he's righteous now. He's been forgiven. Well, a Baptist would tell you, well, once he's been forgiven, it's impossible for him to lose his salvation. But this says that righteous man turns from his righteousness and starts living a wicked lifestyle. He's going to die spiritually. He loses his salvation. He loses his salvation. This is clear. Somebody says, well, this is in the Old Testament. Well, the difference is when the Bible defines righteous or wicked here in this passage, 21 through 24, it's talking about based upon the Old Testament law. Like somebody could be considered wicked if they worked on Saturday, the Sabbath, or if they ate pork or catfish. Well, those things wouldn't be considered wicked today. The New Testament doesn't teach the Sabbath is still binding. It teaches it's not still binding in Colossians 2:14-17 and other passages. And the New Testament teaches it's okay to eat pork and catfish. And the New Testament has requirements that the old didn't have, like baptism and partaking of the Lord's Supper. So the law has changed. So what makes us righteous or wicked is a little bit different now than it was then. But the principle is still the same. If you're righteous and you turn from that righteousness and start living wickedly, you're going to lose your salvation. Or if you're wicked, you're lost, and you turn from that wickedness, and you take advantage of the blood of Christ by repenting of your sins, and you have to repent. You can't be forgiven ever without repenting. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He makes that clear. But if you repent, you turn from that wickedness, you get forgiveness of God from God based upon the death of Christ, you're going to live spiritually. I think that's pretty fair, and that's what this next section helps us to see. Let me read 25-29 of Ezekiel 18. 25-29 of Ezekiel 18. It says, yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? Tell you what, we're going to take a call while we have a chance. I don't want to lose Gary. Gary from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
Hey, Pat, how you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you for your call. How's everything down there in Meridian, right?
It's getting humid down here. The summer is on the horizon.
But you are in Meridian, right? Am I remembering right, Gary?
That is correct. Meridian, Mississippi.
Yep, okay. Appreciate you calling.
I listen to you over WNER Radio, 1390 AM.
But look. What's your question about Psalm 51?
Yeah, Psalm 51, elaborate, in sin did my mother conceive me. Elaborate on that scripture for me.
Okay. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that it doesn't say in sin I was conceived, in sin did my mother conceive me. If I said in anger, Gary, in anger my brother hit me, who was angry, my brother or me?
Well, I mean, it's clearly saying that if your brother was, you know, was angry.
Okay. Yeah, if I say, in anger, my brother hit me, I'm saying my brother was angry, not me. So when this says, in sin did my mother conceive me, it's not David, if David is the writer here, and we think he is. David mm-hmm. is not saying he was in sin. He's saying his mother was in sin. And he's probably using a hyperbole, an intended exaggeration. Mm-hmm. To talk about how bad he was because he committed sin with Bathsheba. And to exaggerate the point, he says, in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm so bad that my mother was in sin when she conceived me. And a hyperbole, which means an intended exaggeration, not a lie. When you exaggerate on purpose to make a point and you intend for your listener or your reader to understand it's an exaggeration, that's not a lie. You're doing it on purpose to make a point. I think that's what he's doing here when he says his mother was in sin when he was conceived. He's exaggerating to make the point of how bad he feels, how bad he was for committing adultery with Bathsheba and having her husband killed. But notice, his exaggeration is not that David was in sin, but that his mother was in sin. Like I said, if I say, in anger did my brother hit me, I don't mean I was angry. I mean my brother was angry. So when this says, in sin did my mother conceive me, he's saying his mother was in sin when he was conceived.
I never heard it explained like that. But now, for the sake of supposition, let's say that what you're saying is correct. Then one could also ascertain that David could have been saying that everyone is born into sin, and therefore inherently from the Adamic experience with Adam, that all need the saving grace of God. I mean, for the sake of supposition, I have never heard until I heard you speak last week that that all mankind had not inherited Adam's sin. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not astute to to say that you are correct or incorrect. The only thing I know that I needed the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is on what I depend now. But I don't know if it's necessary that I believe one way or the other in order to acquire salvation. Do you think that it's one way or the other to believe to obtain your salvation?
But Gary, let's go back to what the verse says.
Okay.
In sin did my mother conceive me. Who was mm-hmm. in sin, according to that verse? Who does it say was in sin?
And as according to that verse, the author, whom we believe to be David, was saying that, you know, his mother was in sin.
So it's not saying David was in sin when he was conceived. It's saying his mother was in sin. So it doesn't teach what the Calvinists and the Catholics want it to say. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 18, verse 20, and you tell me what this teaches, Gary. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now what does that say about this same issue, about whether or not babies are born guilty of the original sin of Adam? What does Ezekiel 18:20 say?
Yeah, according to the reading of that scripture, it's saying that, you know, the sins that my father committed or the sins that I commit will not be passed on to my children and you know, and so forth and so on. I get that. But this is the first time that I've heard anyone make an attempt to separate what the Bible says. In the beginning, sin did enter, you know, by one man, the sin did enter by Adam. I've never heard it being separated like that. Like I say, I really don't know. But that's your point that you're making, and you ascertain that the scriptures will support your position. I don't know if it's correct or not, but what I do know is
hold on, Gary. Let's don't talk about something else. Let's keep on this subject. So you quoted Romans 5:12. You started quoting Romans 5:12 as if, I've debated this issue a number of times, 10 or 12 times with Calvinists, and they like to bring up Romans 5:12 to prove their position. But let's look at Romans 5:12 and see what it says. First part of Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered to the world and death by sin. Now, who's that one man, Gary?
I'm assuming it's talking about Adam there.
That's talking about Adam. And it's right. That describes what happened in Genesis. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. That's exactly what we see in Genesis. Before Adam sinned, there was no sin in the world. But now let's notice the second part. The second part of Romans 5:12 says this. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now notice, death passes upon all men, like Gary and Pat, not because Adam sinned, not because the one man sinned. Mm-hmm. Sin entered the world through Adam. Yeah, he's the first one to sin. But it says death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The reason that Pat and Gary die spiritually, and the reason we need salvation, is because we sin, not because Adam sinned. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the very verse that Calvinists and Catholics try to use to prove inherited original sin, Romans 5:12, actually says the exact opposite of what they're trying. It doesn't say death passed upon all men for that Adam sinned. It said death passed upon all men for that all sinned.
So you're saying Romans 5:12 is just given just for knowledge of understanding how sin initially entered the world and have no bearing on whether or not you and I need to repent from our sin because of the fact that we were born with the Adamic nature bent toward doing wrong. No one has to teach us to do wrong, but we have to be taught to do right.
Here's what I'm saying. It touches on that subject, and it says it's absolutely false that somebody inherit Adamic sin, somebody inherits that, is taught to be absolutely false by Romans 5:12. It does touch on it and teaches it's false. It says death passes upon all men because all that sin. And so that means we need to repent. Gary and Pat need to repent, not of Adam's sin, of our own sins. That's why we need to be saved from our own sins, not Adam's sin. Adam needed to be saved from his own sin. Remember Genesis 2:17, in the day you eat, talking to about Adam, in talking to Adam, he said, in the day you eat, you shall surely die. He didn't say Gary and Pat will die. He said, you shall surely die. And you'll remember, Gary, also, Isaiah 59, verse 2. Let me read Isaiah 59:2. Hold on. I'm having trouble finding that. It's right before Jeremiah. Okay. It says, but your iniquities, talking to the Israelites, your iniquities mm-hmm. have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So the Israelites were not separated from God by Adam's sin. If they had been separated from God by Adam's sin, then their own sins would not have separated them from God. They would already been separated. It says your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So Pat and Gary are separated from God by their own sin. Now, let me read you one more verse, Gary. Let me read you one more verse.
Then
Ecclesiastes.
I want to make a comment because I see the time is getting away from you. Go ahead.
Ecclesiastes 7:29. He says, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Or we're talking about other translations will help you see it. It's talking about sinful schemes. Every mm-hmm. single man is made upright, innocent. But the reason they're not innocent is because they seek out sinful schemes. You see that? Every man, he makes mankind upright. Pat and Gary, when we were born into this world, we were created, made upright. And the reason we're not upright anymore is because we seek out sinful schemes. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, so you're saying that what Adam did initially have nothing to do with nature and our desires being bent toward doing what's right, even the deceptiveness of a child whom you can observe being deceptive, doing a little thing when mom and dad catches them, they throw their hands behind their back as to indicate that they haven't done anything, or they kind of, you know, go as Adam did and say, this woman you gave me, they're blameful of others. So you're saying what happened with Adam has nothing to do with the sin factor at all?
So when Adam, was he born with a sinful nature? I mean, was Adam created with a sinful nature? What you're talking about, the sinful nature. Was Adam created that way?
But that's, I don't know. I'm not.
Okay, he wasn't. Even the Calvinists and Catholics will tell you he didn't have the sinful nature when he's created. Yet, when confronted with sin, he chose to sin. Not because he was born with a sinful nature. He wasn't even born. He's created. Okay? So the reason we sin, we're descendants of Adam. So we are like him. The reason he sinned is not because he had any kind of sinful nature. The reason he sinned is because he was tempted by sin and he chose to sin. And we're descendants of him, so we're exactly the same way. We don't have any kind of sinful nature. The Bible doesn't teach that. We sin because we choose to sin, not because we're forced to sin, not because it's in our nature to sin. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says we're made upright. So we're not born guilty of sin. We're not born with any kind of sinful nature. It says God made man upright. The newer translations will say mankind, and we know it's talking about mankind, all of mankind, but it's not just talking about Adam, because it says, but they have sought out many inventions. They, plural, not just Adam. He didn't just make Adam upright. He made all of us upright. So no, we don't have any kind of sinful nature. We don't have anything like that. We cannot blame anybody but our own self for our sin. Can't blame Adam or anything. It's our fault when we sin. Every time we're faced with a temptation, we can choose not to sin. But we do choose, and it's our choice, and we're to be blamed for it. Go ahead. Gary.
This is so good. I'm going to get out of the way because I know there's probably others that want to get in. But I'm going to call you back next Sunday. I want to talk about Paul talking about what he would do not, and how the struggles were going on. To me, that's indicative of a nature that is bent away from God. And I never heard anyone say
okay.
that. Okay. You know,
thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
So right there, Gary's talking about Romans 7. And Romans 7 is there. But Adam had that same. That's just talking about the struggle we had to avoid sin. We want to do one thing and we do something else. That's the same thing Adam had. Adam wasn't born with any sinful nature. Even the Calvinists will tell you that. Yet he had the same struggle that Romans 7 is talking about. He wants to live right, but temptation is hard to overcome. We're going to have to go off the air in just a moment. If you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me, sometime when it's convenient for you, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Perhaps you disagree with me on this idea of inherited sin or inherited total depravity. Perhaps you would like to work out a friendly public discussion on this, a debate, you might say, to where we let both sides be fairly heard before an audience. And let's see who can prove from the Bible the Calvinist view or the Bible view. either way, Bible study or debate, call or text me at 256-682-9753.